love you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I always asked him every night, forgive me, Jesus, for what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm just doing this because I feel like I don't have nobody. I don't belong. Jesus, where am I ever going to belong? Why can't you just tell me where am I ever going to belong? I feel like a piece of a puzzle that don't belong. The puzzle's all made together, but I'm the piece that's missing. Where am I going to belong? And I got a job at the base, which made my husband very angry, and I started working at a club, and where I was a waitress, and I served liquor and alcohol and served food and met more and more people. But yet got deeper and deeper into that realm of darkness, deeper and deeper into that realm of darkness, not caring, swearing. Then my language got filthy, and I swore, and I didn't care what I did. And I hurt people, and I hurt my friends, and I hurt men. I used men because I believed that's what I got to do. I'm going to use them and take them for what they can give me and use them and take from them. One night, I was in the kitchen, standing in the kitchen, and talking to the cook, and he had a big fork in his hand, a two-pronged fork in his hand, holding it like this, and we were always told, don't run in the kitchen, because it's slippery. The floor is greasy. It's slippery. Don't run in the kitchen. So I was standing talking to him, asking him what were the meals for the night. What do I have to write down on my pad of paper? What's the meals? And a girl came running through the kitchen, and she hit his hand, and then the fork flew and hit me into the foot, which brought me into the hospital. And when I met a lady that went to church, and she became a big part of my life, and would talk to me and stuff. And tell me what to do and not to do. Just, you know, be someone in my life, a friend. And I had been going with my friends to a palm reader. That realm of darkness led me into a palm reader's house where I would get my palm read, and she would tell me things that were going to happen in my life and different things, and I would believe her. So one night, I was really tired. I went home from work and got undressed and went to bed. Around 3 in the morning, I believe, I believe that, I don't know what it was, I shot up in my bed, sweating. I was sweating like uncontrollably, just draining from my face. And at the end of my bed was two figures. And I'm saying, I'm rubbing my eyes. Who is it? Who is it? Who is there? Who is there? And one figure was all dressed in black with a hood over its head. And the other figure was all dressed in white. But they were standing quite far apart. The black figure of the person, I believe, was death. The enemy was going to take my life and in some way, but yet Jesus, the angel was there, the angel of the Lord was there to show me to be careful, and all the person in black was doing was shaking his head back and forth like this, and the person in white was waving and smiling to me, and like that, as I rubbed my eyes, they were gone. I turned on the lights and they were gone. Month after that, I was back into my old ways of going out and partying, and I was with my friend. And for some reason that night, I was never early going to her house. I was always late. For some reason that night, I was early. I was early by a half hour going to her house, and that's not like me. That is not like me to be early. I was always late. So I got to her house, and we had looked at my clock in my car. It said 8:45, and she had said, "Well, yeah, you're early. How come you're early? You're never early." So we had proceeded to go to Dunkin' Donuts, where my friend had a bottle of rum in the car and proceeded to drink as our usual thing. And we got two Cokes, and she poured some rum in her cup, and I poured some in mine, but not a lot, because I said, I don't really want a lot tonight, because I'm driving. And that wasn't like me either, because I drank just as heavy as she did, and I didn't care. I remember that putting on my seatbelt. And we pulled out of the parking lot of Dunkin' Donuts, and we proceeded down the highway. And as I got to the light, it turned red, so I waited at the light, and it was red, and we were sitting there, and the light turned green. And listening to the music, I proceeded through the light, and just like a flash of light, a car came out of nowhere, and I heard my friend say, "Oh my God," and I turned and looked at her, and the car hit us. At the time of the impact, praise you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, praise you, Jesus, at the time of the impact, I was going away. I was gone. I believe I was dead, and I was going to hell, and I was going down this big, long tunnel, and it was so dark. It was so dark, and it was so black that you couldn't even see your hands in front of your face, and you couldn't see anything, and I'm saying, I don't want to go yet. I don't want to go yet, and I'm falling farther and farther away from that light. That light, and I'm reaching up. I want that. Where am I going? I don't want to go yet, and from the darkness, things were grabbing at me with their hands, and long fingernails grabbing at me and trying to pull me in with them, and I was going, no, I don't want to go yet, I don't want to go yet, screaming. Their mouths were open so wide, their teeth gnashing, but no sound coming, no sound, just hands trying to pull me in, their mouths so wide open, and feeling like, no, please, I don't want to go yet, Jesus, I please help do right, I'll do right, and just out of the blue, like a flash of light, my whole body stopped in midair, and I felt hands. To this day, I could feel the impression of hands on my bottom, and the hands pushed me so fast that I was pushed so fast that I saw myself going towards the light, that I went into the lightness, and then I was in the hospital. And I woke up, and I was in the hospital, and I was looking around. At first, my eyes were closed, and I looked around, and I closed my eyes, and I couldn't figure out where I was at, because I'm still seeing that light that where I was falling, and then all of a sudden seeing all the light, I'm saying, well, where am I? And I heard a policeman say, we lost this one. What is her name? Do you have anything on her? And I opened my eyes, and I said, no, you didn't. And he jumped back like, oh, well, we didn't lose this one. She's awake. She's awake. Do you know she's awake? And here come the nurses in here, and here come the nurses in, and the doctor came in, and I'm bleeding, and they're pulling glass out of my arms and out of my head, and I had a big piece of glass in above my eye. But you know that the impact of that car hit me so hard that I should have been in worse shape than I was, but I wasn't. The Lord spared my life. He saved my life. He brought me back out of that pit of darkness, where all the demons were waiting for me, where Satan wanted me to be. Satan tried to take my life. That's all what he wanted to do all my life, was take my life away from me. Take it. He wanted to take my life, and he wanted me to die. But Jesus saved my life. He brought me back for a reason. He brought me back for a reason, because I have a purpose on this earth. I have a purpose here to and I asked the Lord when I came to, when I was all bruised and hurting in my room that night, I asked the Lord, why me, Jesus? Why? Where am I supposed to be, Jesus? Where am I supposed to be, Lord Jesus? Why me, Jesus? And I continued somewhat into what I was doing, but not a lot what I was doing. The drinking and the stuff, I stopped. And all my friends wondered, what's wrong with you? You're changed. What's the matter? How come you're not doing this no more? How come you don't want to drink no more? How come you don't want to do this no more? And I said, I believe God gave me a second chance. I got to get my life right. I have to get my life right. No matter what it takes, I'm going to get my life right. I have to do something to get my life right.